إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. إن شاء الله we continue with the series of further reminders on تربية. And I was looking at my list of the number of things to talk about, and I think I have about 36 or 38 things. So that takes care of the next 38 days, inshallah. Let us see. Inshallah, understand. Yesterday I spoke about the issue of the importance of tarbiyah begins with me, not with my children. Because a lot of times parents think that tarbiyah means to do something to the child, it means to do something to yourself. Because children listen with their eyes. Everybody listens with their eyes, not with their ears. People don't care what you say until they see what you do. So that's why it's very important for us to look at ourselves first. And today, to expand on that, let's look at the issue of the mahol, the issue of the atmosphere, the issue of the kind of situation inside our homes. So one is to look at our own conduct and say, how do I, as a father or a mother, how do I behave, how do I speak, what kind of language do I have, is my language more critical or is it more inclusive, is my language more approving or is it more disapproving, am I slandering people and saying nasty things about people, or am I praising people? Because whatever I am doing, that is what the child is learning. That is what the child is learning. So it is no good to tell the child that ghibat is haram, and ghibah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that ghibah is to eat the flesh of your brother when you are eating the flesh of your brother every day. It's no good telling the children that, right? If you are eating the flesh of your brother, your children will also eat the flesh of their brothers. So there is no sense in telling the children that something is haram if you are doing it yourself. So first and foremost, we need to leave those things ourselves. And so also with other things. And in this context, we need to look at what is the kind of atmosphere in our homes. Many parents are very concerned about the company that their children keep. And they say, oh, my son has fallen into bad company, my daughter has fallen into bad company, they have this kind of friend and that kind of friend, and they go out of the house and this happens and that happens. But I always tell them, it makes no difference. Your child can go and your child can be in school or college with all kinds of people, makes absolutely no difference. What makes a difference is, what does the child come back home to? Because what the child comes back home to is the standard of this child. That is the standard against which the child is going to judge whatever the child sees in the outside world. So if the child sees in the outside world a mujra, a belly dance, and when he comes home and he finds that his father has arranged a party in which there is a belly dance happening, or if there is a party in which there is some, you know, singer who is singing and music and whatnot, then as far as the child is concerned, the mujra or the belly dancing he saw in the outside world is fine. Because the same thing is happening, or some version of that is happening in my own home. Now the parents forget what they are doing in their houses, in their own homes, and they get very concerned and they say, oh, but you see, my child is gone astray, and I find that my son is the whole time and my daughter is the whole time, and they are in the disco or somewhere. But you must reflect, you are the one who sent them to the disco, so why are you complaining? You sent them to the disco as well as much as if you had taken them, holding them by the hand and taken them inside the place. Because the atmosphere that you created in the home is the atmosphere of the disco. We have the television in our homes. And this television is full of the worst kind of filth that you can imagine. And understand one thing very clearly, that the stuff you see on television is not random. It has been created by some of the greatest experts in the world in how to make an impression and how to retain that impression in the mind. These people are experts. These people are the world's finest and greatest experts, most highly paid experts in how to create an impression and how to keep that impression in the mind. Because remember, if you're paying for advertising on television, you're paying for a 30-second slot. For a 30-second slot. And if I remember correctly, I was doing some research on this. In the United States,
a 30-second slot on primetime television on one of the channels, one of the major channels, costs $7.5 million. So somebody is paying that kind of money, is that serious money? And somebody who's paying that kind of money, imagine, a 1 minute slot on that television channel will build the SBA. Ajib, it will build the SBA. We are beating our heads against the wall trying to raise funds for this thing. There are people paying that kind of money for 60 seconds on television. Why? Because they know the power of the medium. They know the power of visual media. Just to give you a very small example, there is a fantastic ad which I saw, and I can't remember whether it is a Coke ad or a Pepsi ad, but one of the between the Coke and Pepsi war. Fantastic ad, no words, no dialogue, no nothing, but I will just describe to you what the ad is, and then I challenge you to forget this ad. Now imagine somebody who's seeing it. The ad is of a little guy who's maybe the age of this little boy here, maybe, you know, six or something like this. He comes to a slot machine. And in this slot machine, he wants to buy, say, for example, he wants to get a Pepsi. Now the slot for Pepsi is high, so he can't reach this slot for Pepsi. So what does he do? The slot for Coke is lower. So he puts in his money, a can of Coke drops, he puts the can of Coke on the ground. He puts in some more money, one more can of Coke drops. He puts the second can of Coke, he stands on these two cans of Coke and he puts in the money for the Pepsi can. And the Pepsi can drops and he takes the Pepsi can and he walks away, leaving the two cans of Coke on the ground. 30-second ad which will stick in your mind for the rest of your life, believe me. That is the power of the visual media. Now imagine what is the power of the real thing. In the visual media, on the television screen, your children are seeing, and we have lost all sense of shame whatsoever. Completely we have lost all sense of shame. We sit in the home, the grandparents, the parents and the grandchildren all sit together and we watch a Hindi film and we watch some other stuff in which there are half-naked women dancing and there is music and there is all kinds of corruption and horrible stuff and there is no sense of shame whatsoever either with the elders or with the youngsters. They all sit together and they watch this without any sense of shame whatsoever. Right? So you have been watching that and then next thing you know, you have organized this party where now that which was on the screen is now available in your own home live. What values are you creating? What tarbiyah are you giving your children? What tarbiyah are you giving your children? Believe me, my brothers, makes no difference to me. I have no children. I don't even want any. Your children. Your children. And believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have seen this again and again and again. It all comes home to roost. Every chicken comes home to roost. So don't think that you can do these things and then you will escape. You will not escape. You will not escape. And just because you might be involved in some work of da'wah or some good work and some charitable work and so on, it does not exempt you from following the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not exempt you from following the orders of Allah or following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We live in a strange world. When we find these things happening, when we find corruption happening in the homes, nobody criticizes, nobody says a word. People go and participate as spectators because, oh, so-and-so is my friend. But let one of the same youngsters keep a beard, let him try to follow the sunnah, he wears a cap on his head or he wears his trouser above his ankles and everybody is up in arms. They start criticizing the kid, they start saying all kinds of things about him. And then we wonder, how is it society is so corrupt? Society is corrupt because you made it corrupt. Society is corrupt because you reward sin and you punish virtue. You reward bid'at and you reward shirk and you reward all kinds of sin and you punish the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then what do you think the society will have? What kind of society are we creating? And believe me, you can build masajid from here all the way to the Kaaba, it makes no difference. Your society will remain as corrupt as it always is. Unless we change the atmosphere and the mahal in our homes, Islam has to enter our lives. Islam is not the name of a building which we put up somewhere. This is not the Hindu religion. You can't go and give something to God and tell God, right, fine, I've done my job for you, now you keep quiet, I run my own life. No, doesn't work like that. You don't go and give anything to Allah. Allah does not take anything from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. No matter how many so-called good deeds you and I do, it will not change society until we change our homes. We have to change the atmosphere in our homes. We have to change the atmosphere in our own lives. And then society will change. Otherwise, just building this and building that is just structure. It is just construction. Makes absolutely no change to society. Society will continue to remain as corrupt as it always is. Today, there is no shortage of masajid. There is shortage of musallis in the masajid. There is no shortage of masajid. You go to any country in the world, there are masajid. And if you go to some countries in the world, there is a masjid in every street. Alhamdulillah. Right where we are, within a stone's throw, there are three other masajid. There are like four masajid within a radius of 1 kilometer from this, or not even less than that. The shortage is of people in the masjid. The shortage is of amal of the masjid. The shortage is of disobedience, the shortage of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a shortage of people following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us look at ourselves. If we want tarbiyah, tarbiyah has to begin with me, not with my children, my grandchildren. It has to begin with me. And with the atmosphere in my home, which is directly in my control. The atmosphere in my home is in my control. I decide who will enter my house and who will not enter my house. I decide who I invite and who I don't invite. I decide what kind of a thing will function or whatever happens in my house and what will not happen in my house. I am the one who decides whether the television set should be here or should not be here. Somebody one day came and told me, please speak to my children, tell them they are watching television all the time. And they don't study, they don't do this. The whole time they're sitting in front of the television. I said, absolutely right, you got to evil children. I will certainly talk to them. But tell me, which one of them bought the TV? Let me talk to him first. He had about four children. I said, tell me, which one out of these four, who bought this TV? So let me talk to him first, because he is the source of the corruption. No, he brought the TV. If the TV wasn't here in the house, they couldn't be watching it. So obviously, since they are watching it and they are the ones to blame, then which of them bought the TV? So you let me talk to him first. La hawla quwwata. You are the one, you go and buy the thing, you bring it, you pay the cable television fellow every month to beam in all kinds of filth into your house, and then you blame the children because they watch the TV. I mean, what's he supposed to do? Make coffee on the television set? He's going to pray tahajjud in front of the TV? What's he going to do? Please, my brothers, understand this. Do not create traps for yourself. If you create a trap for yourself, the number one person who's going to be caught in that trap is yourself. Clean the house. Clean your house. Clean your homes. Clean yourself. And you will find automatically that your children will automatically have tarbiyah, because they are coming out from a pure environment. Please understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept adulterated stuff. Allah does not accept a virtue with a sin. Allah does not accept some halal with some haram. We are not doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any favor whatsoever if we think by doing some virtue, some good thing. Anything good you do is for yourself, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla wa Ala is free. Allahu Samad. Allah is free from all needs and all wants, including whatever you think you are giving Him. Clean your homes. Clean your society. Clean yourself. And that is the beginning of tarbiyah. Inshallah, every day we will talk about different aspects of tarbiyah. But I thought let us begin with where it all starts, which is with ourselves. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.